we'll get right into it. Welcome on back to the Rabid Rabbit Hole. If you haven't checked out the last couple episodes, please do. I had Adam Lane on, most recently Johnny Woods, country artist from OKC. Check those two out. Next up is a now officially a returning guest to the podcast, Micah Wilson. Micah, how's it going, man?
Tired, but we're out here feeling good. How are you doing?
Doing all right. I'm super glad to have you back on. I had you on a little over a year ago during tumultuous times in our country. So now I'm having you on a little later. Things are, you know, kind of not in the social space back to normal, but, you know, life is kind of moving along in a similar way how it was before 2020, because 2020, we kind of had to put pause on the year. And now you are officially graduated from school. Last year, you were a student journalist, really just a journalist in general, but you are now graduated. You're out in Arkansas at a news station. And I kind of want to start things off because we're going to get into everything else later, but I want you to tell me about riding that bull. And what was that like? Because that was, I've been following you, you know, obviously along for a little bit now. And that was probably the first time I've seen you do something that wasn't just a stand up where you actually kind of brought a little animation to it. What was going through your mind when you were considering doing that? And how did that come to fruition?
You know what? I tell people all the time, like off camera, I'm a clown. I like to laugh. I like to play games, which, you know, on camera, you know, I try to played a part, but that day, well, let me just explain. This is my third rodeo from Oklahoma City. So I don't do rodeo things. I only went to the rodeo because of this job. So third one, he's like, hey, we got a bull. You know, they do bullfighting. They're like, hey, you want to get on? You want to be live on TV? On, I said, like, is this a joke? Like, why would you blame me like that? But you know what? We did a tester before. Before my 5 o'clock kid and my 6 o'clock kid. So my 5 o'clock kid, I was on a fake bull and I teased. I was like, you know what? There's $10,000 on the line for the one stays on the bull the longest. I need to practice. Then 6 o'clock, I went on that bull TV. We really don't have time for things. So I got on that bull like a minute before we were live. And then as soon as we went live, he started to move. And I realized I had my phone from my script in one hand and I had the microphone in another. So I didn't have anything to hold on to. So he moved when I was live on TV and everything went out the window.
So it wasn't even your idea. It was kind of just like they sprung it on you and you're like, well, I guess.
Yeah. Cause me, no, I don't know. I never would have thought I would have been on a move.
So since you've done that and that you said that was live, how has it been doing live shoots? I know they do live here at UCentral, UCO, a little bit, but a lot of your stuff probably, I'm assuming, a lot of it is live. What percentage would you say, now that you're in like the workforce, in the field, what percentage of your stuff would you say is live? Is it kind of just happenstance if there's something going on or if it's like stories you've been given? What's the breakdown for live versus not live and how do you like it?
First of all, I want to say I love being live because I know when you do those look lives, which are, you know, pre-recorded, you have to be perfect. You have no choice because you pre-recorded it. So it should be perfect. Or live, if I mess up, I mess up. I look like a clown in front of thousands, but it's fine. It you get on to the next one. But at my station, we love to go live. And when I was MMJ, which I wrote, shot, filmed, and edited, we did a 4 p.m. anchor read. So they did something, a 5 p.m. anchor read. And sometimes we did a look live, which would be me on camera. And then 6 p.m. look live, full story. So it'll be me on camera pre-recorded. But now since I moved to Nightside, I'm a reporter. They have me live at, I come in at 1:30, first of all. And they have me live at 4, 5, 6, 10 sometimes. So yeah, it definitely got me comfortable on camera. My first one, I was definitely scared and I only said like 10 words, but it's just like, whatever I say, like I can't take back and redo.
Yeah. I mean, that is a big factor, you know, going live. It's just a similar idea to radio where, you know, you say what you say, and if you say something, you you know, it's out there. It's whether it's on TV or on radio, people hear it and you almost can't take it back. If you say something that you shouldn't have said, you obviously got to apologize for it later, hand up. Or if you say something you just wish you would have said better, it's just like one of those move on, go to the next time and just remember like, hey, you just got to be better. It's always a growing pain thing. How do you feel like you've grown since you, you know, graduated school? Your day one on the job. First off, what was day one like for you on the job at your news station that you're at now? And then continuing, how do you feel like you've grown since then?
Okay, so I'll do kind of two day ones. Day one actually on the job was boring and just horrible because I feel like since I moved, I really upgraded my whole life unintentionally. But of course, I had to get, you know, an apartment because in a whole nother state. But you know, I was like, you know, scared, nervous. I'm a person. I was like, you know, how do I even get through the door? Like what entrance? So, you know, like just little things like that. So I called my news director and he was like, yeah, just call me and I'll let you in, you know, my first day. Tell me why my phone battery died, like where I cannot charge it. So I actually had no phone my first day. So when I tell you, I just wanted to cry and I was embarrassed because like I had one job and I didn't do it. But you know, it was just paperwork. And then they let me leave early to try to get my phone fixed because we need a phone. So I went from an iPhone 7 to an 11. I can't see.
Nice.
It.
Nice.
But, so yeah, the mayor just called me.
Wow. Oh, if you need to pause this, we could totally pause this.
I'm not sure why he called. Yeah, I am going to pause it. I'm going to start over. I'm not sure why he called me. Okay. I'm kind of start over and first of all, I do want to explain that. Okay, let me backtrack so that I can explain that. So, you know, first day of work, I had one job, which was, you know, just call me when you're here because little things are going through my mind as like, what door do I come through? Because I mean, I'm new. I've never been to the state. I never visited the station because of COVID. Matter of fact, I was even scared of my apartment because my first time seeing it was the day that I moved in. So I was like, please don't be a catfish. So it was it was a lot. I was scared. But yeah, the first day or the night before, my phone battery died. So I cannot charge it no matter what I did. I tried different outlets and it didn't work. So my one job of to let my news director know when I'm there failed. And so then, you know, first day is paperwork and all that. And they actually let me leave early to try to get my phone fixed because we use it a lot. And just now I have a call from a mayor. And I had an iPhone 7, but I upgraded. But yeah, just now I had a call from a mayor just showing, you know, how often we use our phones and it's like essential. And then we fast forward to my actual first day on camera, which was a week and a half later. I don't know why. I felt like it was very quick, but I forgot my tripod.
I remember seeing that on your story, by the way. I remember seeing something you were saying, like it, like how it was your, you know, first story or something, and you forgot your tripod. You had to drive all the way back and you almost missed it or whatever. I remember seeing that and I was thinking, like, he's in it now. He's in the field.
When I tell you, I never wanted to cry so much. And I don't cry like I don't know. Well, no, actually it was my whole camera. It was everything because I'm still sharing gear with our morning reporter. So it was at the station and I forgot my camera tripod. When I already drove like 20, 30 minutes out for the story. I'm going to be honest again, as an MMJ, we did 4 o'clock hit, 5 o'clock hit, 6 o'clock hit. I missed all of those. Yeah.
And that was like week one, you said?
That was my first day on air.
Oh no.
And so we ran my story at 10 o'clock, did not show my face. I was hurt to say the best, but I mean, I was still excited. I'm like, dang, I'm really on TV. Like people actually watch it. And they gave me a hard story too.
Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things where it's like, Your first objective you had, it started out rough. It can only get better from there, you know? Like that's one of those things where it's like a slap in the face when you get there, but then you're just like, you wipe it off, you move on, and then you're like, all right, I had that happen. Rather than like, you know, a few months down the line and everything's been fine and dandy, and then you get hit with it. It's like, no, you just deal with the worst stuff, you know, the forgetfulness, the mishaps, the accidents, because you know, technology. accidents happen. And so you had all that right at the beginning, and that kind of allows you to get through the grit of it early and then flourish afterwards. You know, do you feel that that was kind of the case so far?
Oh yeah, because you learn to deal with things. There's another time where I did drop to Moffitt, Oklahoma, and I forgot my tripod. I don't know. I left it in my personal car, so I made it work. That's what you have to do in this job. And I think I'm feeling a lot more comfortable on camera. Like, I updated my reel. I'm like, wow, this is so much better. I'm getting a lot more. I'm trying to get more creative with my stand-ups when I can, and just
really keep riding the bulls. Like, just keep riding animals.
That was my most, I was so scared. You don't even know. But even the stories that we do, I feel like I'm getting better, because you do have to have, for lack of a better word, aggression, but compassion, because a lot of times we're putting the camera in front of people's face, the worst points and times of their lives. So, yeah.
Yeah. So kind of about that, like, how has the stories that you've taken on since you've started in the field been? Are they mostly stuff you get handed? Are they stories you're seeking out? How's that been for you? Because I feel like at school, you typically kind of got to seek them out. They kind of curate it that way to, like, go seek out your stories, and which is probably better, because then it's like you're rather than just being told to do something, you're taking the initiative. How has it been at the news station for you? Do you typically get stories handed to you? Are you seeking them out? What's kind of the how do those weigh?
So at my station, it is kind of a mix. And I would say for me, definitely being nightside, most of the time they do try to set some things up because they know it's a quick turnaround time. We start at 1:30. We have a meeting till 2. You want me live at 4, 5, and 6. Well, people aren't always going to speak with me. So they try to set things up for me. So it's a lot of times just like, okay, news, no, just whatever comes in. However, I did have an internship in Oklahoma City where you have to vet that yourselves, pitch it, and already have, like, things set up for yourself. So, I mean, it's different at every station, but at my station, that's kind of the practice that our assignment editor really does the heavy lifting for us sometimes.
So kind of like reflecting on our last podcast episode, it was kind of a tumultuous time, and you were actually covering the protest here in OKC. And one thing, and it's stuck with me since, the one thing you had talked about is being both Black and a journalist and having those two worlds combine, like, kind of not clash or combine, but they're kind of knitted in a sense that at the time, you know, socially people were giving you it, not you specifically, just race. There's racial tensions in the country, and also people don't really like journalists. Have you found that you've grown in a way to kind of like handle that a little bit better since last year? Just kind of like touch on that topic. I kind of want to pick your brain on that.
No, it is a hard, hard balance, but I have to applaud myself, really, because I like to tell myself what I'm doing good and what I need to work on. I have to applaud myself on that because, you know, my personal life, I have a mindset, you're not about to punk me. Like, that's just not going to fly. But, you know, with news, I would say I get so much love, but a lot of hate at the same time, and really balancing that and just knowing when and when not to speak. Because I was just telling my photographer the other day, my photographer that I work with, you know what? I realized my name is very neutral. You can't really tell if I'm white, Black, male, female, if you're just going by my name. So when a lot of times people, like, they'll say stuff that they normally wouldn't say, and then they see me in person, I'm like, oh. And then, you know, you have to kind of, you know, go about that. And it's helped me really kind of, I guess, more concretely define thick skin versus knowing when to step up and show up, because people like to say about whatever. I wore my glasses on air because people just like to, I'm really realizing people like to complain, but at the same time, we get so much love. Like, I remember one time somebody said something about me in our Facebook comments, 7 people who I don't know jumped on them in my defense. That I didn't have to do anything. I was like, wow, like the love is real.
Yeah. It's one of those things, you know, it's no matter, kind of like, you could look at it in sports, politics, mood, like entertainment, whatever, people are either going to love you or hate you. And you can't, you know, the people that hate you, you might be able to sway their opinion, but almost no matter what you say, they're going to hate you. And the people that love you will love you and support you and, you know, do exactly that. They'll come to your defense, even when they don't even, you know, personally know you. What kind of, you know, have there been any stories that have been a challenge for you where, not in school, but since you've been on the job out in the field, have there been any stories that have been a challenge for you? And what did you do to like just get through it or overcome that challenge? Or if it was a tough story, how did you get it out there?
Okay, I'll probably share you this story. But first, let me, sometimes not even, it's the specific story. People just tell you things. Not sure why, but one time I was covering a house fire that left two dead. Somehow me and the interviewee got on COVID not being real. And then we got on to George Floyd with the house fire. So, you know, I was just like, okay, interesting. And I had to walk away because I'm just, me personally, I could not do it. But no, one story that definitely really, really got to me, and I think I wrote a Facebook post about this, was the boy was 12 years old at the time. He's now 13, but he's a biracial boy. He's adopted by a white family, and some white students on the football team allegedly assaulted him and called him George Floyd whenever he said he can breathe. So I started my day, you know, contacting the parents, which understandably they didn't want to speak at the time. I mean, this is their child, so 100% understandable. Got contact with the friend of the boy's mom. She spoke to me, told me everything. I went to the school. And I tell you, I went to the school and I really had to do a self-check because I walked out the car like ready to fight, like it was my own kid. And as I realized, you know, like, my God, separate your emotions and stuff, because I'm very passionate about this stuff. And I really had to get it together and calm myself down before I entered the door, because they were like, you know, you can't be on school property and stuff. So I really had to, you know, tone it down and just stick with what's being told and what people are telling me and get it in quick, fast, and in a hurry. But it was definitely challenging because my sister, I think she's 14, I really don't know. I think she's 14, but the fact that she's the same age and this is happening, and that it was just like, wow. He said, you know, like, get off me. I cannot breathe. Like, you're choking me. This allegedly called him George Floyd. Really pushed the button. And I was like, I'm surprised I got through that day.
Have you found it to be a struggle for stories like that, or even other stories where you do have that passion for the story? But of course, like being a journalist, you kind of got to remove yourself and just be that third party, that eye in the sky, see, you know, reporting on both sides of everything that's going on. Have you found that to be something you still struggle with? Do you struggle with it less? Have you learned any, you know, quote unquote tricks of the trade, so to speak?
I will say it is a hard balance, which I'm so glad that, and let me just give people background of TV practices. So just so people know, I write my script because I'm the one getting the information. They're telling me, and then I send it off to my assistant news director. So then they can approve it, make any changes, if they see any hints of bias, just switch it. Because I feel like, you know, when you're trying your hardest not to be biased, then you go too deep on the other end. So it is still something that is hard. Another hard story was, I spoke with the family of, I was first put on a fun story. And then they switched me at like 3 o'clock. It was like, hey, you're going to speak with this family whose 9-year-old drowned in a pool. Turns out it was their family pool when they were at the home. And we pushed a notification of what happened when I was still riding inside my car at their home. And the grandmother came up to me and was like, hey, can you take this thing out? You know, that it happened here, like still devastated about it. Cause I had to ask them, you know, 3 times again, their trust. And we couldn't, and that was definitely tough and hard because she's crying right in front of me. To this day, it's just like, that's tough. You know,
are those stories that kind of stick with you psychologically? Because I would assume dealing with those traumatic stories every now and then, and as you go through your career, I'm sure they're not going to end. You know, stuff happens day in, day out. Life does, you know, the world doesn't end. Do you feel like there's like a struggle to not think about those after the story's done? Is it just kind of one of those things you do, just you do the story, put it down, maybe think about it in times like this where you're telling a story, but you don't really, you know, you don't really keep it with you? Is that a struggle that you deal with?
It is a struggle. And I really, really, and I'm really still learning on it. I remember talking to my mom about that. It's like, there's so many things. It's like, okay, you have to get your on camera presence right. Oh, I can think of something just recently. Oh gosh. this past week. Oh my goodness. I feel so bad. I don't even have the clip. So there's a manhunt in Oklahoma, went to Bayan, Oklahoma, and he shot two people, which you really have to think, you have to do emotional checks. So then, you know, my story is playing on air. And so then I'm like, what? The light is flickering right before about to go live. Like, I can hear in my ear. So then I'm like, what? And I'll smile. I'm like, what the heck is flickering? And then it's like, cue. And I had to go fix my face immediately because, you know, to the viewer, they're like, he's smiling at these deaths and he's faking it. So, and there's things like that where you have to check yourself. And then I was telling my mom, I was like, you have to be, you don't want to become desensitized because we do this thing so much. I've seen a dead body before. I mean, so you don't want to become desensitized because that's when you forget, like, these are people's lives. Yeah. But you don't need it to affect you so much to where I was about to walk in and fight everybody at the school. That is a hard, hard balance. And I feel like every journalist, no matter how long you did, have been doing it, still struggling and learning with that because it's a tough battle.
What would be something, you know, for someone that was in your shoes a year ago, or maybe 2 years ago, they're starting out at UCO or whatever school they're going for journalism schools. What would be something you wish you would have had that one tip or that one, you know, what's something that you wish you would have known a year or so ago about something like that, where you kind of can't get desensitized, but you can't have too much emotion. What's something that you feel like would have helped you to know, or maybe just open your eyes to it? I don't necessarily know what I'm asking, so to speak, but like, kind of like, what do you think you would have liked to know a year ago?
Definitely how to deal with a deadline and trauma, which actually it's hard to get your words out correctly, but I will say I have dealt with that at UCO, surprisingly. I remember I did a story over Kyle Ward. He died. And this was our third student death at UCO during a whole pandemic and some more. But I mean, I spoke with one of his friends and they invited me to the visual. And when I tell you, people either love that you're there or they hate that you're there because they're like, why is there cameras here at this sensitive moment at the worst time of our lives? So that's something that I wish, you know, everyone had the opportunity to do at UCO, is just do kind of hard stories like that because you are on a deadline. Like, I even seen a comment by one of my coworkers that said, you know, like, hey, I'm sorry that you just lost your home in a fire, but if I don't speak with you for our 4, 5, and 6 o'clock show, you know, my boss is going to get pretty angry. I mean, cause, and it's not like the news fault. It's honestly, it sucks, but this is what, I really hate this. Is viewers have answers. I mean, questions. And we have to provide those answers. And we have to be the ones to go and reach out to people in those uncomfortable situations. And just knowing how to go about that with your deadline is crucial.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's probably kind of what I thought you'd say in terms of the school, for the fact that as a student there, you wouldn't expect to have, for locally to the school, just to the campus, you wouldn't expect to have traumatic stories to be able to cover year in and year out, semester in, semester out. But when there is, like, those are the times that, like, kind of prepare you for the real job. Cause last 6 or 7 weeks that I've seen you on Instagram or so, there's probably been a couple non-positive negative stories that you got to cover. So it's not something you deal with sporadically on the actual job. You deal with it quite often. And so having that experience as a student probably would be super beneficial.
especially when you're doing two stories a day, two different stories, you really got to get your emotions right. Because
let's switch up the gears. And now that we've talked about the hard stories and the negative stories, what has been like your favorite story you've done? Maybe it was the bull, maybe because it was a new fun thing, but what's been like your favorite story that you've either seeked out or was given? And why is it your favorite?
You know what? That is, I feel like we did so many stories that like, they escape your mind. I will say the story that I can say the story I'm the most proud of, it wasn't great at all. as far as like, you know, something to make you smile. But I'm proud of myself because, and my photographer I was with, we went to this school district where they were allegedly hazing students and called them baptisms, where parents said that they put their private parts on people's mouths and stuff, and the boys on the basketball team. So they had a school board meeting and protesters came, asked for the resignation in the middle of it. And mind you, it didn't start till 7. It went at a live full story at 10. And the meeting didn't end until like 10. I remember it was still going on when I was doing my live shot at 10. But we were only station to have a full story on it. The rest of them just did one sound. And I was definitely proud of myself for that and the photographer, you know, for getting to the end. As far as fun stories, dang, I don't. Okay, most recently, because I'm looking through my Facebook, because I post all my stories on there. I would say, and this is fun off camera, but definitely the bull, because I wrote a bull. I had funnel cakes and stuff. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, the community love is real. Like, I love to eat. That's one thing I'm going to do is eat. I can't. You know what? That's a good question. I don't know. Oh, or the 4th of July. We got VIP passes from Fort Smith. Met some cool people. We were by the Arkansas River. Food. I just love food. Fireworks. Food. It was cool.
So do you feel like, in obviously the negative stories, they're just going to come. You don't want to have to cover them because you wish they didn't exist, but they do. Do you feel like some of those moments, those good, fun moments, kind of offset those down negative stories that you have to cover? Do they kind of give you good balance? Because if they were all negative, you might like somewhat hate your job. But since you do have some good, positive, fun stories that you get to cover, do you feel like there is a good balance of, you know, the fun times are the fun times, the hard stories are the hard stories, and you just kind of got to, you know, categorize them as that and just take them as they come? Is that something you feel, is there a good balance?
I'm really looking through on Facebook. There is a pretty, I would say for this market, there is. For other markets, is just horrible all the time. Like, I'm looking through my Facebook. It went from super regional one time to an ambulance driver shortage to drowning to Arkansas sculpture to Juneteenth. And then even one time, like, it was another bad thing. I had to cover a funeral for my early, for 4, 5, and 6. And then for my late story, I covered a parent who said that Fort Smith Police Department used excessive force on his 13-year-old son, which that one was hard because it was a Black teen. And I really had to check myself, not because like I was siding with Nina, like, but because I had to realize, like, I'm one of the only Black reporters in our market. There's, I think, like 3 of us. The Black community, you know, either is going to watch us like, okay, let me tell them stories, or they're going like, I cannot trust the media. But then I also had to think of the other thing is, I'm Black. People are going to have prejudgments of, oh, he's just doing this because he's Black. That was another hard thing about that. But yeah.
Do you get that often?
You know what? You know, that specific story, I'm still a little salty about. People were definitely in my comments and on the station's comments. Oh my noggin. But you know, it's a lot. It's like trying to do my best I can, because I do realize, like, you know, that's a balance. Yeah, people, like, we do need distrust from them, because we're not just serving one certain group of people. Then at the same time, I don't, and again, I wasn't agreeing with them, wasn't like not agreeing with the police department, but you know, just people's preconceived notions of, oh, he's a Black reporter, is something social justice allegedly. So
yeah, people, I mean, no matter what it is, people always go into whatever topic with their preconceived notions or stereotypes or whatever. And it's, and do you feel like that as a journalist, when you are trying to get a story, do you feel like it's your job to kind of sway it for the moment, kind of sway their opinion to get that story? Or do you sometimes just like move on to another aspect of the story if people are giving you issues in terms of like not wanting to tell you their story or just harshly judging you based on, oh, you're just going to side with this side, or you're just going to say this thing, or you're not covering it the way I want you to cover it? Because that's also probably a thing that you deal with, is people like, tell it the way I want you to tell it. Like, you got to cover the story from A's perspective and B's perspective. Do you feel like, I totally forgot what my initial question was.
No, I do feel like that is something that I deal with. And it's a hard balance. I feel like you play it play by play. Like, if it's a family who just lost their child, they say they don't want to speak. Okay, I understand, because I'm thinking if I was in that shoes and I just lost my parents. If I tell you once, I don't want to speak, don't you come back. I'm going to hate you. Like, that's me being honest. I am going to hate you. Like, but then, you know, it's sometimes where I'm like, okay, now, come on, you got to speak with me. I remember, it's funny, because with this job, I'm really realizing people want stories covered. They want stories done, but they don't want to speak. I can't do anything. I tell people all the time, there's nothing I can do. You want me to do it, but you're not speaking. I can't do much.
Yeah, they're like, they say like, hey, why aren't you covering that thing over there? And well, what do you have to say about it? Well, go ask them. It's like, no, you just brought it up. Yeah. So I can see that. And yeah, a lot of people don't want to be on camera. And it's just, you know, as a I'm a photographer, so I go around taking photos, and totally different concept, but I don't really like taking photos of strangers when they're passing by. It's just like, or if they're like, oh, can I pass through? It's like, just get out of my way. You don't want nothing to do with me. I don't want nothing to do with you. Just keep going. I feel like sometimes that's a similar sense with the news, is people just want to know what's going on, but they don't want to give their insight, especially when they have insight.
Anytime I'm door knocking, this happened just recently. Anytime I'm door knocking, it's the worst, because people, no, I don't want to speak, but what happened? And this is a personal thing. I'm not speaking for all journalists, but for me, I'm like, I'm going to tell you, I just really want to tell you, okay, well, watch at 5, because I got a job to do and a deadline to meet, but you have to be human and personal. So I'm like, I am going to tell you, but give me some information. But oh my goodness, this is another crazy thing. I know you didn't ask for it, but I stopped checking like our voicemails and some of the emails, because some people just hate to hate. But my assistant news director called me. It's like, hey, were you door knocking in this area? I was like, yeah, I was. But apparently I had 3 viewer calls saying that I was an imposter, impersonating a 5 news reporter, because they didn't see my camera. But I'm door knocking, so it was in my car. I'm not about to carry a heavy camera around. And my car is unmarked because of things. They said things that happened, you know, and you know, just with journalists. So they left it unmarked. So that happened. And then just recently, I was door knocking and had the police called on me. And he came out his car, put your hands up. Cause you know, I opened the door a little, because I'm like, oh, that's please. Hey, what does he want? So put your hands up. And I'm over here writing my script on my phone. So I'm like, okay. Yeah.
That is a pretty crazy. Yeah. That's a crazy incident right there. I guess like if someone's door knocking, but that's still like, you're just asking about stories. It's not like your door knocking be like, where's all your money? That is a crazy situation.
My thing is, I'm like, I was just telling him, I'm like, you know, if you ask me like for proof, I can show you my Facebook. I can show you me on the station's website. Now I can show you my badge, but you don't ask me for proof. I just get the police called on me. And I will say I was in a rural town in Oklahoma, but I'm like, I'm in a long sleeve shirt and it's 98 degrees. Just ask me.
Yeah, they could have that. Yeah, exactly. If they asked for like, do you have proof that you're a reporter? Yeah, let me go get all my camera gear. Like, no one's, trust me, no one's carrying around that camera gear if they're trying to impersonate a reporter. Because you use the big like big block cameras. I can't remember what they're called. Or do you just use a smaller one?
So my MMJ camera that I share, it's actually small. And I actually like it. It's kind of still. We have the tripod, the mic. I'm not trying to carry all that and just continue.
Absolutely not.
But then like for the photogs, they have like a big camera. And the day that I got the police called me, I was with a photographer. So he's in the car and, you know, so yeah.
Well, I'm sorry you had to deal with that, but we'll move on and kind of keep things a little more positive because I want to get some insight into your future. What's your goals? What are some of your goals? Do you like doing local stuff? Do you eventually want to do national coverage? Do you want to do sports? What's your goal in this field?
My goal is continue to do local. My goal, WFAA in Dallas, if you're watching, I want to be with you in a good 4 or 5 years. That is my
maybe
goal.
Even less. Yeah, keep riding the bulls. You might be there in a couple months.
Let's pray about it. But that is my goal because I feel like one is near home. Two is a big and diverse city, and it is I think market number is between market 8 and 5, so it's pretty large, and I just love the love and the community knowledge that you get from local news because, I mean, I'm on the ground living in these communities, you know, they can see me go to Walmart and things like that. So I do like that because I have been recognized once. It was...
What's that feel like?
It's so... I mean, it was kind of weird, but flattering at the same time. Like, I kind of... I came in after my... Well, I was MMJing that night. And I did 2 stories. It was crazy. But anywho, you know, I came into Walmart because I'm like, you know what? I'm hungry. I can't really go shopping. Let me just buy some Twizzlers because I'm unhealthy. And so I was like, hey, you work for the news station, right? I was like, yeah, I do. They were like, yeah, I think I saw you on TV before you did this. So I was like, yeah, I did. Like, wow. And even I had my mask on, which I'm like, oh, recognizing even my mask. But it was just like, wow, people actually watch, which sounds crazy.
Yeah, it does sound crazy.
Like you do it every single day. So you forget like people are actually watching. I would have this family. I would have this discussion with my family all the time of like, how come when I was in Oklahoma City, how come people who are on TV don't really need to be on TV? And it's because you do it every day. Like being on TV is just nothing. Like if I am an accountant, crunching numbers every day is just like, okay, it's normal. But yeah, so it makes you realize people actually watch. It really affects people really trust you and care for you, which is crazy.
Yeah, the love outweighs the hate sometimes, hopefully all the times, you know, and so that's pretty cool. And I saw that you got Twitter verified, so that's probably a cool feeling too, you know, as like a young guy and, you know, everyone's on Twitter, is like, that's the whole thing. It's like, got that blue check mark. Got official. You're officially official. How long, like, what was that? You guys, is that something that journalists just do through the station and, you know, it takes a little bit to get approved or?
Yeah. So when I first started, our web content manager person, he kind of told me about it, you know, like, you know, after a few months, we'll get you apply. Right now, they're not taking any application. So me being me, I'm very impatient, just everything. So I already applied for Facebook and I got that. Instagram still playing me. I don't know why. I don't read the requirements.
They're playing hard to get.
Exactly. He told me like 2 weeks before I got the verification. He was like, hey, I submitted you all's things because the application is now open for Twitter. And then I woke up, I seen somebody quoted my tweet that I do every day, new day, new blessings, as a reminder for myself and others, like new opportunity, you know? Like, congratulations on being verified. I was like, huh? And then like I got like an email from Twitter that was like, you know, you need to go through the authentication. I can't pronounce it.
Authentication.
To show that I'm real. I was like, huh? And then I looked on it. I was like, wow. Like, I'm really out here because Instagram, I don't really care about. Facebook, I mean, this sounds bad, but I'm doing it for the job. But Twitter, that's my app. So I was like, wow, really there.
Yeah. So do you feel like how has social media played into your job life? Obviously you told me and told the viewers, everyone, about, you know, the people commenting to come support you when you get the hate comments or whatever, but how does, like, get in terms of like stories and interaction with your community, how does social media play a factor?
Okay. Lots and lots of different things. I'm trying to do in a short version, but for me personally, I'm going to be honest, because I just can't lie. Being on the job with social media, I'm going to be honest, I was never a big social media person. I do it for work, but it's key made me like hate social media. Like I have goals for myself with 3 posts a day, for Instagram, 1 actual post a month, you know, just to get people engaged and talking, and is really work, because people, you know, they'll slide on my story. They see something fun. And I like that, because I get to engage with people and they'll find me and follow me, which is great. But, you know, part of this job is stalking. So if someone, I don't mean to be negative again, but if someone like died, like that's what people are messaging me on Instagram and I'm not responding, it's because I'm searching for people to speak with. And it's kind of like, ugh, it's kind of hard. Like, you know, like kind of depressing, and it makes you, and you're on it all day. So it's kind of like, ugh, I don't want to be on my free time. But then on the good part, I get story ideas. Like just recently, covered an officer who died while on duty. So, you know, all the reporters were doing the same story. And then somebody reached out to me. It's like, hey, I spoke with the man who witnessed it. He has a bad rep around town, but I think this will really change it. And he actually helped stop people who killed him so that people can arrest them. I got to speak with them. That's something no one else had.
And you said you got that through Facebook or Twitter?
Facebook.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and it really builds, you know, that connection, because they get to see me as a person, because I'm on air for 30 seconds max, like my face. So my face is going to be my story. If it's sad, it's sad. If happy, I'm happy. You know, the story. So you really get to see my personality. So I like that. And then I get to communicate with people who are watching, which I think is cool, because I don't know. It's better than just talking to a camera.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's like you actually, it feels like you have this, like you're actually reaching something. You're not just like, for me, I don't, and I'm going to be straight up, my podcast, I don't even push it. I just kind of do it because I like doing it. Hopefully one day it pops. We'll see. But you know, you just put it up there and you're like, man, no one's watching. But then, you know, someone says like, hey, I remember hearing that story. And I'm sure that's the same for you. It's like, you put the stories out there and you kind of, you get complacent, because not complacent, but you kind of like, you know, you get used to just doing stories all the time, but then you have those moments where you're like, oh, whoa, people are watching, people are listening. Like my stories are getting out there.
Another time that happened, which was a compliment I never knew. It's the highest form of compliment to me that I never knew, like I needed, and that I was honored by. I'm over here getting my hair cut, and then people are talking about, now that previous week I did a story over a firefighter or fire chief or whatever who assaulted an Asian American man. Then I did another story. I forgot what it was, but they were talking about it at the shop. I was like, wow. Like, I mean, they may not have been, they could have been watching other stations, but still, like, that just shows like people are actually watching and talking and speaking. And I'll say social media has helped. I think it helped me get this job, because they seem, you know, like I can interact with the viewer and post this content when it's needed. Because people are looking for stuff. Sometimes I post stuff on like Twitter or Facebook. I'm like, I don't even know how these people found me, but hey, like, you know, people are needing this content, and I'm one of the sources now.
That's awesome. Have you had any instances so far with anonymous sources? Have you had to deal with that?
Yes. And my station's practice, for now, is like 9 times out of 10, we're not gonna do like, we need to show your face, because it is TV. Now, me personally, I definitely say, which I'm pretty sure my station will agree with, but if you're like a rape victim or something like that, you know, something like serious, like
very
that,
sensitive.
Yeah, like of course, like I don't want to put you in harm's way at all, but if it's something like, I don't even know, like you don't like a city council member or I don't know. There's some things that happen. I'm like, okay, well, I can't take quote. So I'm sorry, can't really do anything.
Yeah. That's always something I'm curious about, because it's like, I've always wondered, like, how often different journalists, you know, for like I would always ask Hannah a bit, like, how often he would encounter anonymous sources. He never really dealt with them, he'd say. And so I was just curious about that. I want to wrap this up, and I want to give you a moment to, like, for people that are getting into journalism. I kind of had this question earlier, but kind of a little different now. What would be the advice to students that are going to wanting to be journalists, or someone that's looking for a journalism job out there? What's a piece of advice you'd give someone?
Oh, for sure. Get your reel right. Your resume is amazing, but I don't really think news directors would care for that. Your reel, which is just showing your on camera presence and your best stories. Get that right, because that will get you the job. And I'm going to be honest, I have a few fake stand-ups that, like, did not air anything. I just randomly filmed them one day that are on my reel, and they look good. So you can even do that. Also, if you have a chance to do hard stories, do it. Part of the reason why a news director said they liked me during the hiring process is because, you know, I had those hard stories. And this is something I did not touch on, but it's very personal. Make sure you have a clean driving record. You would think you would know that, but I didn't. So I had 3 speeding tickets between 2018 and 2019. I was actually supposed to be working in Charleston, South Carolina, market number 89, but it got rescinded because of my speeding tickets. I was supposed to move in Super Bowl Sunday. Definitely make sure that it's clean. This worked out.
Yeah, that is an interesting tip, because, like, you know, sometimes you wouldn't think of that, but being a journalist and on the go to different stories, you got to have a clean, I mean, you should try to keep a clean driving record to begin with, but hey, who hasn't been in a rush here and there? We've all been, you know, most of us have been there, but that's a good thing to, like, consider when you're going to apply. Make sure you got your ducks in order, or if you even think about it, you know, cause maybe you might not even have considered, like, looking into that, or, you know, mentioning it or whatever, when you sent in your application, right? You probably didn't even.
Yeah, they do a background check, and that's part of it, is your driving record.
But see, going forward, like, looking back, you might have been, if you would have known what you know now, you might have been upfront about it. Hey, I have 3 tickets between these times. Yep, I did that, but I'm better at driving now. You know, I've learned my lesson type deal. If you would have been forward about it, maybe they would have looked past it. But you didn't know any better at the time. So that's actually really awesome advice for people going into the field. That's really good advice, is, like, if you know you have that on your record, just kind of be forward about it with your application process, because then that also shows your forwardness, you know?
And you won't waste your time, because I tell you, I love this. And I still love the lady. She is so awesome. But I mean, we spent like a whole month talking to each other. So I wasted their time and my time. You know, getting things ready. Moving forward, I tell people, like, off the jump, since I knew this thing. Also, I said do hard stories. Learn how to take comments and move past them. Don't get too highly of yourself, because some people do. Nobody in my station, they're amazing. But, you know, some people get too much love and they start to feel themselves. And then some people get a little bit of hate and they start to really reflect on that. And on your off days, to just be off. Like, I do not post on my off days. I sometimes respond to, you know, if a viewer messages me with story idea, but no, I think it's your off. You need to decompress. This job is a lot of sacrificing.
Yeah, actually, that's something, you know, for everything. When you're working, work hard. And when it comes time to rest, you got to take that rest. And that's for every aspect, every industry. I feel like, you know, if you don't take that rest, it's going to catch up to you. And, you know, your stories might not be as good. You're going to look tired on camera all the time for this industry. So that's actually, that is good advice too. You know, just rest when you can. I think you're going to be super successful as a reporter and anchor and stuff. You like, seriously, when I saw that, that's kind of like what prompted me wanting to have you back on. I had thought about it, because I had a I have a list of guests that I have wanted to have on going forward because I'm just restarting. You know, if you see, I'm in a new space now. And I got a list of guests. You were on there, but then I saw that bull story and I was like, all right, I gotta get the backstory on that. Like, that was just too funny. And that's when I hit you up and was like, hey, you want to come on and talk about this story? Cause that's just too fun. And I hope you continue to have fun doing this job. There's going to be the downtime, the down stories. There's going to be those up times when you're out getting funnel cakes and out at the river or whatever. But I really think you're going to be successful in this job. You're actually one of my favorite reporters to follow. Obviously I know you from school, but just in general, you always have a good presence on camera. You look like you enjoy it. And also when you need to be serious, you are serious. So I really appreciate that as a viewer.
Thank you. And I will say one of my favorite quotes is don't trade your authenticity for approval. I'm going to be me. I talk kind of reckless. I'm going to do that with you all. I like to laugh. I don't know why I just laugh at everything, but I'm going to do that with you all. So no, thank you.
Well, let people know where they can find you, both social media, the news station you're at, whatever it might be. Plug what you need to plug right now, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yes, sir. All right. So my station is KFSM-TV, aka 5 News. Find us online, 5newsonline.com. And then my verified Twitter is Micah, MICAHRWILSON. So Micah R. Wilson. Facebook, same thing, verified. Now, Instagram, slow playing, but it is also Micah R. Wilson. Yeah, so I try to keep it all the same for consistency purposes. But yeah, if you got jokes, if you got a music playlist, if you got different businesses I can eat at, let me know.
You're in Northwest Arkansas, right?
Yes, covering
Northwest Arkansas.
Portland, Arkansas, and then two counties in Oklahoma.
Awesome. Micah, thank you so much for joining me. I can't wait to have you back on. Maybe even a year from now, when maybe you'll be down in Dallas riding some bulls down at the events down there. I wish you the best of luck, man. I really do. You're one of my favorite people to follow. Till next time.
Yes, I appreciate you.